service, audio service, audio service. National Radio Club.
Sounds like vinyl to me. Gotta love it. Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 2003. This is issue number 221, and I'm your host, Fred Bobie, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. Our address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number here in the studio is 419-228-6223. If you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. If you live in the United States of America and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent by a first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or just simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org/member and sign up using our PayPal system. Well, he's not ready to retire just quite yet, so here's Jerry Starr with a look at the AM switch. Jerry?
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News magazine for the August tape. Our reference number is 563 and begins, as always, with call letter changes. 540 WDXN in Clarksville, Tennessee becomes WJQI. 730 CJNW in Vancouver, British Columbia becomes CHMJ. 790, the news station in Winchester, Nevada, will be KPTO. 1110, WFCG in Franklinton, Louisiana, becomes WOMN. 1140, WKWM in Kentwood, Michigan, changing to WJNZ. Couple changes on 1240, WDFL in Cross City, Florida, becomes WYNY. And WLTQ in Fort Myers, Florida, becomes WINK. Didn't think that call would be floating around unused very long. 1260, WLGS in Birmingham, Alabama, becomes WYDE. Two changes on 1460, KKCS in Colorado Springs, Colorado becomes KZNT, and WWWG in Rochester, New York changes to WHIC. 1480 WZTK in Arcadia, Florida, they become WFLN. 1480, the news station in Glen Allen, Virginia, that's suburban Richmond, that will become WTOX. On 1570, WGSR in Fernandina Beach, Florida becomes WNNR. And in the X-band on 1680, WJNZ in Ada, Michigan changes to WDSS. Two new stations have been applied for on 1140 in Ensley, Florida, and on 1340 in Welsh, West Virginia. That basically will replace the deleted WXEE. And one new station has been granted on 1160 in Cleveland, Missouri, 215 watts day and night with separate patterns day and night. Several applications of interest. 1450 WZNU in St. George, Utah wants to move down a notch to 1440, increase their daytime power to 10 kilowatts. 1470 WCHJ in Brookhaven, Mississippi would like to go full-time by adding 82 watts at night. And on 1500 WGEN in Geneseo, Illinois would like to go full-time by adding one whole watt at night. Two grants of interest, both city of license changes on 620 WSNR in Newark, New Jersey, officially moves their city of license to Jersey City, New Jersey, and on 1510 KTIM in San Rafael, California, changes their city of license to Piedmont, California. Moving on to otherness, a lot of stations coming and going on 570 WVMI Biloxi, Mississippi. License canceled and call deleted. Those operations had been moved to 1640 under the call WTNI. 580 CJFX in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. That license has been canceled. Their operation has moved to 98.9 FM now, and the AM is off the air. 750 WQOR in Oliphant, Pennsylvania. That's suburban Harrisburg. That silent station is back on the air. 880 WCQV in Moneta, Virginia has returned to the air. 930 WYNI in Monroeville, Alabama, also back on the air. 980 WKLF in Clanton, Alabama, license canceled and call deleted. 980 WAAA in Greensboro, North Carolina, is silent. 1000 WSMW, Wahala, South Carolina, is silent. 1010 WCST in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, is also silent. This station has been on and off more times than I can remember. We were in Berkeley Springs back at the end of May, and at that time, it was off the air. 1050 KCAA in Loma Linda, California. That station is back on the air. They used to be licensed to Big Bear Lake. They were silent then. 1100 WMYQ, Newton, Mississippi is silent. 1130 WMGA, Moultrie, Georgia, silent. 1130 WQIS in Camden, South Carolina. This station has returned to the air. Two stations have gone silent on 1150 WSNW in Seneca, South Carolina, and WDTM in Selmer, Tennessee. On 1230, WBOK in New Orleans is back on the air. 1240, WQIK in Eustis, Florida has gone silent. 1320, WKJM, Mayfield, Kentucky has returned to the air. 1340, WJLS in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Their new 95.5 FM is operational. That means the AM will be off the air in the next month or so. 1370 KTMG in Deer Trail, Colorado, license canceled and call deleted at the licensee's request, although the station operated about 2 weeks after the license was canceled. They are now off the air. 1410 WQBQ, Leesburg, Florida is silent. 1410 KMYR in Wichita, Kansas. We told you last month they were silent because of a transmitter fire. They are now back on the air with a special temporary authority to run 250 watts non-directional day and night until they restore the station to full facility. 1430 WQOQ in Duran, Wisconsin is silent. 1460 WRRE in Yonkers, Puerto Rico is back on the air. 1470 WXAG Athens, Georgia also has returned to the air. 1480 WISL in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. This silent station is back on the air. Evidently, they're operating to preserve the license. They're playing nonstop oldies from a CD player with no announcements and no IDs, according to people who have monitored locally. Maybe on low power, too, as the signals are reported to be quite weak at WISL. 1500 WQCR in Alabaster, Alabama. Despite several reports in the press and on the DX reflectors we passed along, this station was silent. Turns out that this station is not silent and has never been silent, according to a member in Alabaster. 1500 KMXO in Merkel, Texas. License canceled and call deleted. As an interesting side note, the license was canceled and call deleted at this station before. That was in 1993, but a petition for reconsideration resulted in the operating authority and the call being restored. We'll see if that happens again. 1550 KADZ in Arvada, Colorado. This station has silent. It's been operating parallel with the 1690 X-band station for 5 years, and due to the five-year rule, wasn't 1550 KADZ Arvada, Colorado. This station is silent. It had been operating parallel with KDDZ, the 1690 X-band station, for 5 years. And due to the FCC's five-year rule, one of them has to go. What went was the 1550 station. The FCC database does not yet indicate this license has been canceled, but the station has been taken off the air due to the five-year rule. 1550 KXTO in Reno, Nevada has returned to the air, and on 1570 WONA in Winona, Mississippi has gone silent. And that wraps up the August edition of AM Switch. 30 days from now, our September edition brings you more stuff from the broadcast band. Now let's head south to sunny Florida and the golden tones of Mr. John Ducker.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry. I'll bet you're finding your leisurely retirement is, in fact, so busy you can't get things done the way you'd like. And it happens to all of us. And hello, everybody. Let me not dwell on such things because we have an important AM radio frequency to begin today. This is 810 kilohertz. The FCC lists it as a clear channel frequency, even though some 24 U.S. stations are assigned to it. And yes, that probably also means all the stations on this frequency are owned by Clear Channel. Is that what that means? I don't think so. Well, in fact, there are only three stations on this channel that operate with a full 50,000 watts both day and night. And those, of course, are in Schenectady, San Francisco, and in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But they beam their stuff south, so we don't hear them very well here. All the other U.S. stations are either daytimers or they drop their power at night to less than 1,000 watts. Well, with one exception, right where you'd expect. That's the station in Kansas City. We'll get to that next month, in fact. There's quite a story there, too. Because they stay on the air at night with 5,000 watts. And again, it's a north-south pattern that they use. Well, we're going to begin our trip around the United States with WGY, since there are no 810 stations in any of the six New England states, as we start the August 2003 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
This is WGY Schenectady, the 50,000-watt flagship station of the General Electric Broadcasting Company. NBC Radio News, this is Don Blair.
Gee, that sounds good. You know, I grew up with that station when I was growing up in western Vermont, so what do you say we come up to the middle 1980s for this next one?
This is the first radio station in New York State. Radio 810.
WGY.
Schenectady, a broadcast service of Dame Media. WGY News, I'm Doug Myers. We have cloudy skies and 80 degrees at the Albany International Airport.
We'll have to give them one more shot.
And we'll have all your favorite Beach Boys and Chicago hits, too.
81 WGY.
Tonight between 6 and 10.
Saturday night, only show.
You're never more than 15 minutes away from another AccuWeather forecast on Radio 810 WGY Schenectady. Full service radio for New York's capital region and the great Northeast.
It's 3 o'clock.
This is the NBC Radio Network. I'm Dick Bertel.
You know, if truth be known, that was really about the only station that my parents ever listened to. I can't explain exactly why, but they were strong and they had all the good programs. And there we are. Now, just a remarkably short distance away is McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Really, that's part of Pittsburgh. About a five-hour drive from Schenectady. And consistent with overcrowding this clear channel, as Mark Durenberger has been pointing out to us, the FCC back in 1947 awarded a station license to an independent group of businessmen for a 1,000-watt daytimer. It was called WEDO right from the very start. Now, Clark Ingram taped this station for us on his way to the 2002 Lima Convention of the National Radio Club.
Listen every Sunday afternoon at 4 for the American Serbian Club Radio Hour. That's Sundays at 4 p.m. right here on your Station of Nations, AM 81 WEDO. News from CNN is next on AM 81 WEDO McKeesport.
CNN Radio News. I'm Stan Case.
You know, they do a fine job attracting a commuting audience with, you know, focused traffic reports with only 1,000 watts just on the outskirts of the city. Well, we're going to move south to the Chesapeake Bay region next, the home of the United States Navy.
This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi reporting AccuWeather exclusively on the Voice of the Bay, WYRE.
The music you want, the information you need on 81 WYRE, Annapolis.
It's 72 degrees at 9 o'clock.
Gee, I wonder if that's the popular way of pronouncing the name of the state capital of Maryland.
Annapolis.
You know, I have a collection of tapes from stations in New Orleans. That city can be pronounced with four syllables, three, two, and almost one syllable, depending upon who's talking at the time. So I'll accept that announcer's take on Annapolis. Now, almost in the dead center of Virginia is the city of Charlottesville. home of Presidents Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe at one time, and home to the University of Virginia. And it's a bustling place with a suburb boasting a radio station operating at 810 on the dial.
WCYK AM Crozet, WCYK FM Stanton, Charlottesville.
Today's continuous country, New Country 99.7.
Yeah. Now, the bad news is that in September of the year 2000, Jerry Starr was reporting that the license for the Crozet station had been canceled and the call sign deleted. So we can't repeat that one. But there's another 810 station operating in Virginia, and true, it's almost out on the western toe of the Commonwealth, but its programs of religious teachings reaches well out, and I think you'll be interested to see how this station reaches a large audience with only 4,300 watts. That's not the whole story.
WPIN, AM and FM Dublin and the New River Valley, 90.9 FM. WPIB, Bluefield and Princeton, 90.5 FM. WPIM, Martinsville, Danville, 103.9 FM Translator, W280 DB Lynchburg, 102.5 FM Translator, W273 AA Blacksburg, Christian Music Radio, PAR FM.
Okay, we drive about 300 miles to the east next and drop into the Tar Heel State to find Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and its daytime station at 810 on the dial. But listen, you're going to hear a sign-off from this station, WCEC, and wonder of wonders, the engineer actually turned off the transmitter as soon as he was through with the sign-off. See if you can make out what happens next.
Currently, we have 66 degrees. Have a good evening. I'm Al Sellers in the WCEC newsroom. WCEC Rocky Mount concludes another broadcast day. WCEC serves the Nash, Edgecombe, and Wilson areas with 1,000 watts at 810 kilohertz. WCEC Country Classics is owned and operated by Eastern Carolina Electronics Company. Our studio and transmitter are located on Highway 97 West, 1.2 miles from the Rocky Mount city limits. Good evening from Country Classics, WCEC.
Watson Power. WJLP is owned and operated by LT Enterprises, with offices, studios, and transmitters located in Crozet.
You hear that? In Crozet, Virginia, 300 miles away, coming in very nicely. Now, that was recorded in 1989, so WCEC was still on the air with 1,000 watts daytime, and the station in Crozet, Virginia was WJLT, in case you had any trouble making that out. And of course, at this point in time here in 2003, there is no 810 station at either Rocky Mount, North Carolina, or in Crozet, Virginia. Anyway, that's all she wrote about 810 in North Carolina. And we're going to head further south to the southern part of South Carolina. And we're only about 35 miles from the Atlantic beaches at this point. And as with many stations in this part of the country, the format is based on religion and gospel music.
Keeping the dream alive, the spirit of South Carolina, 810 AM WQIZ, St. George, Somerville, Dorchester. It's 1 minute before the hour of 4 o'clock. I'm Sabrina Gerrito with you. Pleasant Good Friday afternoon. Going to continue with the best and inspirational gospel music.
Well, okay. In fact, we're going to move directly to the west from St. George into the state of Georgia. And this is a decidedly different take on how gospel readings and music attracts an audience.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we got your country favorites for this Thursday afternoon. Hang in there for country's latest and country's greatest right here on WBIC in Royston. Our time is now 2 o'clock.
NBC Radio News. President Clinton calls him an American hero. Air Force Captain Scott O'Grady, shot down over Bosnia 6 days ago, has been lifted out of enemy territory by a NATO rescue mission.
Yeah, remember that story? What a great story that was. Wow. Anyway, down not far from the Florida border in Georgia is the town of Hayhira. And now, here's how they sounded 10 years ago.
Coming up next,
the Herald of Joy with Dr. Mark Rutland.
Today's Christian Radio, Light 81, AM 810 WXLR, Hayhira, Valdosta, Lake Park.
The Herald of Joy is brought to you by Mason's Accounting and Tax Service.
And then in 1996, with some new management and new equipment,
soft hit favorites, WSHF, Hayhira, Valdosta, Lake Park.
And then just last year, this is the way they sounded.
HV serving Hayhira, Valdosta, and Lake Park.
With SRN News, I'm Ken Lormand in Washington. The World Trade Center is no more. The Southern Tower collapsed with a roar about an hour after this morning's twin plane crashes into the New York City landmark.
We were on Interstate 75 driving south on that awful day of September 11th. And all we knew was what we heard on the radio until we got home about 6-7 hours later. And I know this comes as an awful shock, but at 8:10 on the dial, there are no stations broadcasting from Florida. Zip. Nada. None. So we have no choice but to turn around and start heading north. And off into Alabama we go.
888-9999. Well, we still have some.
Call around the clock at 1-800-888-9999.
Alabama's new broadcast legend in the making. WNSI, 50,000 watts from Jacksonville.
Around the world, around the clock, this is UPI News.
50,000 watts during the day, maybe, but at night, no, they're down under 1,000 watts at night. Well, let's rush up into Tennessee before our time runs out this month. Murfreesboro is a good-sized town just south of Nashville, and this is what they were hearing back in the 1980s.
Spend your summertime in the country. Make it a WMTS summer.
ABC for Middle Tennessee. This is WMTS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Nashville. Now this ABC News Brief.
Okay, by 1996, this is what they were hearing.
One-on-one court!
You're listening to Sports Talk 810, WAPB in Murfreesboro.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.
Okay, and by 1999... Okay, that's where they stand today. Well, let's see, our last stop today is going to be in the lonesome western part of Tennessee, off in the hills, a little city all by itself. It boasts 250 watts. It signs off at local sunset. We'll see.
We're 8th Country, WCTO, Alamo.
CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm Ed McCarthy.
Well, okay, that's going to wrap up the first half of our trip across the country with our dial set to 810, and we'll finish the trip next month. Now, you have a great summer. Make your plans to be in Dallas with us over the Labor Day weekend. We're looking forward to seeing you there. And here next is Mark Durenberger.
Thank you.
This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and we are in the middle of a multi-part tour of the WLW transmitter site in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our tour took place at Christmas time 2002. Our host, Clear Channel's Paul Jellison. Let's get back to that fun day. This is fun, folks. I have to tell you, this is the station we all talk about. And I'm walking by this 1927 model transmitter, which is about 9 feet high, I guess, isn't it? And the coils inside this thing, which handled all of the radio frequency signals, are half-inch diameter copper for the most part, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, we can walk around behind this transmitter and actually walk.
Well, let's look at the water-cooled part of it, because that's something folks might find a little unusual. Oh, and now he turned a big wheel, which is an interlock, one way to make sure that you can't open the door without shutting off whatever electricity is flowing through this room.
Yes.
That's a room about, this is fun, I love the echo in here.
Yes.
It smells and looks old.
Yes. It looks like Frankenstein's lab. I have a lot of people say it looks like Frankenstein's lab.
It's probably 15 feet square, and it's full of stuff.
Yes, it has capacitors and huge oil-filled transformers, air-filled. It's got resistors and relays, and I mean it's. And then overhead, we were talking about the water cooling. You can see these long Pyrex glass tubes. They are about an inch and a quarter in diameter. And I would say there's probably a couple of hundred feet of them in series with the water that flows up to the tube. And of course, the tube runs at a potential of around 11,000 volts. Obviously, you can't just plumb a copper pipe into something running at 11,000 volts.
Not for long.
So the theory is we run distilled water in our loops, and distilled water has no mineral content, so it doesn't conduct electricity. And the distilled water actually isolates the tube while dissipating the heat in the tube.
And the Pyrex is actually an insulator.
Correct.
Keep the electricity off of the pump. While we're on that subject, you may have noticed on the NRC bulletin board, somebody asked about the rumor that your pond where you circulated the water for heat exchanging might have been used for a swimming pool. And
Actually, you know, I would not be surprised, although there was a heat exchanger inside. The distilled water was actually internal to the building. The external water, and then there was a heat exchanger, and the external water was treated, but not, I mean, it wasn't, obviously you couldn't control the purity in the outside environment. People getting in it, realistically it was only about a foot and a half deep when it was in operation. So
a rumor.
Yeah, it's a rumor, although the pond's still out there, and right now we've got probably 50 or 60 smallmouth bass in there.
We'll have to look at that. Did you bring a fishing pole? I am looking at something that I suspect is connected to a wheel here.
Yes.
Here it is right here. There is a, I wish I could describe this better, but there's a long operating rod that goes to three big copper bars, and by rotating the rod, it slams those three bars up into their respective sockets and puts what voltage?
That's 2,400 volts.
Well, only 2,400.
Well, but if you'll notice also here is a couple of more of shorting switches, and you'll notice that while we opened the disconnect to walk in the room.
That was that wheel you turned.
Yes, it disconnected the 2,400 volt power.
Right.
It also grounded out the high voltage bus bar for the final amplifier, and also for the lower voltage screen circuits, the 1800 volt.
And this was probably, all this interlocking was probably designed and built right here, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can pretty well bet this was all done here, yeah.
And you still don't touch anything.
You don't?
No.
No, never. Keep your hands in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
Very interesting. So in this, all of this supported the 27?
The Western Electric 50 kilowatt. This is the power vault for that room.
Okay.
And
where are the pumps for the
distilled
water?
The pumps are around the corner.
Around the corner. Okay. Now, there are not a lot of transmitter buildings where you see plumbing supplies on the shelf.
That's right. That's right. You know,
look at this.
I think that's, I really think that's where in the broadcasting business is sort of the joke, the engineer's the jack of all trades. Well, I think this is why, because an engineer of old had to be a plumber and an electrician and have a pretty vast knowledge of electronics. So
did you do any coal stoking here at this site?
It's next door.
You have a
yes,
coal?
Yes, it's still there. I've still got the 1946 boiler license on the wall.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now we're moving into a room where there are hundreds of spools of wire, copper wire, of every shape, color, thickness.
Yes, this is the wire room. They actually wound their own transformers here. You'll notice this is
they wound their own transformers?
Yeah, they actually wound transformers here, especially modulation. You'll notice this is square wire, and that's round wire.
Yeah.
And the reason is with square wire on a winding, you can get more copper density with square wire than you can with round. Because if you take circles and you put them together, you got quite a bit of open area. With square wire, you can fill. You can get a higher density of copper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd never thought of that.
More power.
Is that Litz wire?
It's not Litz. It's just a cotton coated. It's just wrapped.
I've never seen anything like that.
But
it is square. It's the way it's drawn or extruded.
Yes. Oh. Yes. And there are several of the square wires around here. But it's pretty incredible.
So this is just the wire room. Although I see you got a few light bulbs.
Yeah.
And fuses
yeah.
Here.
That we up. We expanded to light bulbs in our room.
All right, now we're in a room with a couple of pumps, or one pump and
one pump and pieces. These were actually two pumps for the main and the backup transmitter. Everything used to be water cooled in the plant. This pump actually flows the water through the system, and right now we've got it off because running a 5-horsepower motor 24/7 gets to be a little expensive,
especially with three other backup transmitters.
Yeah, we felt it was probably time to maybe not do that anymore.
So this is the distilled water loop.
Yes, okay. And you can see there's these huge radiators.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably.
He's looking at a wall of all I can see is the filters, but there is a radiator inside there that's not unlike a car radiator, only about 12 times as big.
Right, right, exactly.
And water flows through them, and there must be a huge blower somewhere blowing air through those filters.
Yes, there's a bank of blowers on the backside that blow those through. I might add that tops, there's actually two radiators here. Some years ago we had our radiator fail on our generator and freeze and burst, and we knew we were coming up within the next year or so of getting a new generator. So it's like, well, rather than spend several thousand dollars getting a new radiator in, we just took the old radiator, which was not in use anymore, and plumbed it into the new generator.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
The old generator.
Now that's engineering.
It worked just fine.
All right. I see it looks like a Harkins Hirschfeld exciter there.
Actually, that is an RCA.
Is it?
STL. That was on for Cincinnatiites. The largest, the tallest building in Cincinnati is the Carew Tower. And that's the big, tall Art Deco looking building in downtown Cincinnati. And the Carew Tower was had this STL transmitter on it. The receiver was up here to receive the STL signal. The unit consumed 1 kilowatt of power.
Whoa.
And it put out 1 watt.
And he means by STL studio to transmitter link, so this was the main path for the signal for a long time.
Yeah, it brought it up. Actually, they brought it up to the Voice of America just down the road and then shipped it up here on wireline.
Oh, I see.
Because evidently the terrain didn't allow.
Oh, so the receiving antenna couldn't see the transmitter.
Yes, yes, so it was down the road about a mile.
You know, we haven't mentioned that, but we are just a mile and a half from the now decommissioned Voice of America plant. That was the big Shortwave site.
Correct. And the Crosley engineers, which WLW was started by Powell Crosley, and Crosley then Avco is what it turned into, and the old Crosley Avco engineers actually worked at the they actually maintained the Voice of America site.
Really?
Yes. That was done under contract, and then eventually the workers, you know, the federal government picked up their workers, and I'm told that in the 60s you had a choice. You could either stay with Crosley or you could go down there, you know.
Either be a civil servant or have fun. Wasn't, we talked about this earlier, WSAI in its previous incarnation as WCKY was also at this site, wasn't it?
Correct, yes. It was actually the bottom half of the residence where I live at was actually the transmitter building for that operation. And then on the upper floor was the apartment for the engineer. So there's always been somebody around here.
So it was always self-contained, and that building's right next door to us here. So you could, for any reason, natural or man-made disaster, you could hole up out here and keep this thing running, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. We've got generator power here. We can run. We've got about a 40-day supply of fuel. Quite a bit of offline capability here. Of course, I don't know after 40 days what I'd talk about. But
you're saying you're going to go sit in the fallout shelter. Can't call them that anymore. That's right.
That's right.
Glass block windows everywhere here. This is a huge plant. What's this red light for? That's hanging down from the ceiling.
That signifies that this transmitter is on the air. When the red light.
Be careful about that door.
Right. That's sort of like an on-air light. That lets you know that don't turn the thing off.
So this red light was on New Year's Eve 2000.
You betcha.
I'll bet that was a thrill for you.
Yeah, it was.
Jeez. Now we're approaching the machine shop, and it's a huge machine shop. You got room in here for half a dozen people to work.
Oh, yeah.
Simultaneously?
They tell me that when they were running a 500 kilowatt transmitter, there were 13 people on duty, so to speak.
On duty at any given time.
Yeah.
Each had a specialty, I suppose. So we're walking through the shop area, and you've got every...
We've got a pretty good sized project going on, as you can see. We unfortunately lost one of the transformers in our substation. We own our substation. It is a 2-megawatt substation, which is way overkill for the power level we run now, but it was necessary to run the 500 kilowatt transmitter. The actual old transmitter actually pulled about from what I can find from my records, this site pulled about 1.8 million watts when the thing was on the air.
100% modulation.
Yes. Right.
And I heard 33,000 volts was the entrance?
Yeah, 33. Actually, they've jacked that up to, it was 33,000 to 2300. It has since been changed to 34.5, so we get 2400. But one of those transformers failed, so we are in the process of converting the plant over to 480 volts and actually getting out of the substation business. It seemed a terrible shame to pump oil out of perfectly clean transformers out in the substation and fill them full of oil dry.
Right.
But there's no need for them anymore. So
the cabling that he's dealing with here as he rebuilds this is triple odd at least, isn't it?
That's called 500 MCM. That's 500 million circular mils.
How thick is that cable?
I would say that cable is probably between 3/4 of an inch and an inch. The actual, with the jacket on it, it's a good inch, yeah.
So now you've become a pipe bender as well.
Yeah, well, we've got electricians doing this stuff. These guys are really good. We are attempting to reuse some of the old wiring coming in. You can see that's old lead-covered cable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we are attempting to reuse that.
Now he's about to open a fire door. And we have entered a room where giants once played. Well, nice turn of phrase notwithstanding, that's where we end this month's tour. Next month, when we return to WLW, we'll look at the 500,000-watt transmitter. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll be back in just 30 days or so. Till then, good listening, DXers.
And that'll do it for the Jackhammers, but an RBI single by Derek Kopasz, a two RBI double by P. Rose Jr., and after three complete, it's 4-0 Joliet.
Scott Slocum in the morning. Early mornings beginning at 6, exclusively on the voice of Joliet, 1340 WJOL.
Ken Anastruck back here, and prior to the Major League Baseball game, the All-Star Game in Chicago on Tuesday, July 15th, here was on the radio dial that weekend for your interest. On Friday the 11th at 2:20, the Cubs played the Atlanta Braves on 720 WGN and Fox Sports Net. On Saturday, they played at 12:15 on Channel 32, Fox TV, and WGN. And Sunday night, they played on ESPN, and WGN and WSB. The White Sox were on Friday night against the Cleveland Indians on 1000 MVP and Fox Sports Net. Saturday, they played a day-night doubleheader. And Sunday, they played an afternoon game on 1000 and Fox Sports Net. Other than that, Friday night, Midwest League Baseball with Cedar Rapids at Kane County and 1280 WBIG. 7 o'clock was Northern League Baseball as our Joliet Jackhammers played Gary. And at 7 o'clock also, St. Paul, Minnesota played the Schaumburg Flyers in 8091 WONC. And they also played at 6:20 on Saturday and 5 o'clock on Sunday. Though on Sunday, there is some changes. The Jackhammers play Sunday on 105.5 WYKT. And Kane County is broadcast on 1530 WJJG. Those are the only substitutes on the weekends. And also on Saturday night was soccer, Major League Soccer here, as DC United played the Chicago Fire in suburban Naperville in Spanish on Radio Unica 950 WNTD Chicago and 1030 WNVR Vernon Hills. And Saturday was motorsports here, the NASCAR Busch Tropicana Twister 300. It was on Channel 5 at the Chicago Speedway on Joliet's far south side off Route 53. Last year I was employed there as a ticket taker for the weekend. It was a good experience, okay, but I'm not a racing fan. Okay, next let me get into the National Football League information that I have up to date. And I'll be back with complete information, probably the next issue. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons on 640 WGST and 37 affiliates. And probably playing at the Georgia Dome and television is WXIA. The Arizona Cardinals will be playing at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, I believe, on 1060 KDUS and 100.7 KSLX. The Baltimore Ravens will be playing at M&T Bank Stadium on 1300 WJFK and 102.7 WQSR. The Buffalo Bills will be playing at Ralph Wilson Stadium on 96.9 WGRF and 23 affiliates. Next, the Carolina Panthers from Charlotte will be playing at Erickson Stadium on 99.7 WRFX and 38 affiliates. The Chicago Bears will be playing at the renovated Soldier Field on 780 WBBM and a new contract with WMAQ Channel 5. The Cincinnati Bengals will be playing at Paul Brown Stadium on 1360 WCKY and 92.5 WOFX on a 15-station network in three states. The Cleveland Browns will be playing in their own stadium on 1100 WTAM and 100.7 WMMS on 39 affiliates in five states. The Dallas Cowboys, where our convention will be held in September, that is the end of August, we'll be playing in Texas Stadium And one source told me 98.7 KLUV and Channel 11 KTVT. The Denver Broncos will be playing at Invesco Field at Mile High Stadium at 850 KOA. The Detroit Lions will be playing at Ford Field on 950 WWJ and 1270 WXYT in a 25-station network. The Green Bay Packers will be back at Lambeau Field in Green Bay on 620 WTMJ Milwaukee in a 70-station network. And I have checked, and I believe up in Green Bay they're on 1400 WDUZ. It's interesting, that team is always on a Milwaukee station. The Houston Texans will be playing at Reliance Stadium on 610 and 100.3 KILT in English on a 26-station network, and in Spanish on 1010 KLAT and four affiliates. The Indianapolis Colts will be on at the RCA Dome, thank you, on 94.7 WFBQ on a 20-station network. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be playing at Altel Stadium on 690 WOKV and 96.9 WKQL and a 16-station network. The Kansas City Chiefs will be playing at Arrowhead Stadium, and they will be back on 101.1 KCFX in Harrisonville, Missouri. The Miami Dolphins will be playing at Pro Player Stadium on 560 WQAM. The Minnesota Vikings will be playing at the Metrodome on 1130 KFAN and KSTP Channel 5. The New England Patriots are based at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. On 104.1 WBCN and a 47-station network. The New Orleans Saints will be playing at the Louisiana Superdome on 870 WWL. The New York Giants will be playing at their own stadium on 660 WFAN and a 7-station network. The New York Jets posed me a little problem here. The Sporting News Preview told me both 770 WABC and 1050, which has new calls yet. WEVD has been dropped, and since they are ESPN Radio, they have new calls which I haven't been aware of yet. The Oakland Raiders will be playing at Network Associate Coliseum. Try that one again. As it appears, 1050 KTCT and 680 KNBR have reached some kind of a simulcast, and 1050 is now known as KNBR or whatever. Maybe somebody can let us know about that, and a 39-station network. The Philadelphia Eagles will be playing at Lincoln Financial Field. Oh, boy. Talk about corporate ownerships. On 94.1 WISP and a 16-station network. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing at home at 970 WBGG and 102.5 WDVE at a 41-station network. The St. Louis Rams will be playing at the Edward Jones Dome on 103.3 KLOU and also mentioned was 1600 KATZ. The San Diego Chargers will be playing at Qualcomm Stadium in English on 760 KFMB and in Spanish on 1420 XEXX. The San Francisco 49ers will be playing at 3Com Park on 810 KGO and a 19-station network. Seattle Seahawks will be at their own stadium on 710 KIRO and a 31-station network. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champions, will be back at Ray James Stadium. And I happened to find a 1-800 number on the internet. I called them up and they didn't even know who was going to do their games this year. Maybe John Bowker does. I don't know. Maybe he'll tell us. And Traveling John. The Tennessee Titans out of Nashville will be playing at the Coliseum on 103.3 WKDF and a 68-station network, plus WKRN-TV. And finally, the Washington Redskins will be playing on 106.7 WJFK and a 42-station network out of FedEx Field. Okay, I've also learned that the National Hockey League Chicago Blackhawks and 670 WSCR have agreed to a one-year deal, their seventh year in a row. Each broadcast will have pregame and postgame programs, and road games will have a 15-minute postgame. The team will continue to simulcast on Fox Sports Net with play-by-play men Pat Foley and Dale Tallon. This season, though, the team bought the airtime and sold their own advertising, which is a growing trend among sports teams. And a former Cubs broadcaster, Vince Lloyd Scaff, better known as Vince Lloyd, 86, who worked with Jack Brickhouse and Lou Boudreau on WGN Radio, died July 3rd in Green Valley, Arizona, of stomach cancer. Vince, I believe, worked for the Cubs from about 1969 to 1986 and originally worked with Jack Brickhouse down at WMBD in Peoria before he came to Chicago and WGN years later. Okay, for those who wish to contact me about updated information, give me a call at 815-774-0184 and give me your phone number if necessary and I'll get back to you. I am way too busy to use a computer for email, so that's the best way to get a hold of me for updates. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next month, and take care and good DX pens. Goodbye.
Thanks, Ken. And before we flip over to side two of this magazine, I'd like to pass along a editorial that appeared in Radio World Magazine, July 2nd, 2003. It's titled, Can CAMD Save AM? Ibach was touted as the savior of AM radio. It was said that it'd be equivalent to FM radio in quality and sound. But look what is happening. Proponents of Ibach are requesting that, in order for it to work, the kilohertz need to be reduced to 5 kilohertz from 8 kilohertz. This will quash the signal to just above an ordinary telephone line at 3 kilohertz. Skywave signals will disappear with Ibach. Many areas of the country depend on these signals for service. A 50,000-watt signal will be reduced to over 75% at night. Think what this will do for lesser power stations. Ibach will render 500 million radios obsolete, which will need to be replaced with more expensive radios. Think how long it will take to get these radios into consumers' hands. Look how long it took for stereo to penetrate the market. Broadcast stations must pay a license fee to the transmitter companies, plus a fee to Ubiquiti. There are also increased costs in towers. Some are making separate towers for analog and digital. These costs can approach over $150,000. Directional arrays are going to be a challenge. Ibach HD radio takes up 1.5 times more bandwidth from 20 to 30 kilohertz and is known to cause interference on adjacent channels. Check out the New York and Detroit areas where this is proven to be the case. So, what is the alternative? Leonard Kahn has come up with CAMD, which will allow 8 kilohertz, and when digital radios are in existence, 15 kHz to compete with FM and CDs. There will be no need to purchase a new transmitter and redo towers. CAMD allows a station to protect their nighttime skywave contour. It's time for AM broadcasters to support the CAMD plan and save AM radio from destruction. KKDS will be installing the CAMD equipment during 2003. Signed, Ralph J. Carlson, president of Carlson Communications in Salt Lake City.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX audio service.